Hey gang, if you're a musician or in the music industry here in Austin, I have a tremendous resource for you. It's the Austin Music Foundation. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit whose mission is to strengthen and connect the local music community with innovative programs that empower music professionals and music businesses with Austin's creative economy. Austin Music Foundation offers free education specifically tailored to today's music business climate. Go to austinmusicfoundation.org, set up a meeting with someone there, get involved, go to one of the panels. Got great things going on. Austin Music Foundation, let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a very special show for you today. One of my favorite musicians, producers, and all-around dudes, Adrian Quesada, is back on the show today. You might know Adrian from all of his production work. He did the Last Sword record. He produces a lot of bands around town. You might know him from the Grammy-winning band Grupo Fantasma. You might know him from Money Chicha. You might know him from the band Spanish Gold that had my summer jam a couple years ago called Out in the Street. Well, he also has a solo project that he calls Echocentrics. They just put out a new album, Echo Hotel. You can find them at echocentrics.com. That's their second record. Their first record, Shadows, came out in 2011. Now, the way that Adrian does this is he gets guest singers to come in and sing on his badass jams. These jams are psychedelic, cinematic, dusty, soulful gems. From this dude's like musical, he has such a great musical background and a knowledge of music. Such an amazing musician and composer. Echocentrics. He gets different singers to come in. On this record, he has Jazz Mills. He has Alex Moss from the Black Angels. Natalia Clavier from Thievery Corporation. James Petrali from White Denim. Many, many singers, great songs. Gorgeous record. Get out there and get it. We have a great conversation. Adrian's a great guy, super entertaining, tells great stories, super talented, a guy that I would love to work with, and hopefully I will someday because I enjoy his vibe and his music. Like, that you can tell someone, like, the music that pours out of them, the song that they play or sing is a thing that resonates with you. And Adrian's musicality resonates with me. His sensibilities resonate with me, and Echocentrics resonates with me. Go to theechocentrics.com. Pick up this Echo Hotel. It's such a fucking great album. It really is. It's really great. Sorry to cuss. I know there's publicists involved, and they're probably like, why is this guy cussing? Well, I cuss on this show. Okay? So we will get to this great conversation that I have with Adrian in just a minute. First, let me tell you what's going on with me. I told you on Tuesday that I hurt my back on Sunday when I played at the Pecan Street Festival with my new band. I jumped, I was bending over, I was doing all, that sounds funny. I jumped and I was bending over, that's my choreography. Anyway, I was doing a lot of that stuff and I threw my back out and it was hurt for days. I just got it fixed on Wednesday. My friend Emmy Robin from Dead Love Club is also a masseuse. She came over and worked my stuff out on Wednesday. And I feel a lot better today. I'm back in action. Getting ready to do some shows with Skyrocket this weekend, some private shows. And hey, I wanted to let you guys know that we are celebrating our 600th podcast with a live podcast at the Townsend Monday, June 5th at 8 p.m. There's no cover. My guests will be AJ Vallejo, Nakia, Jamie Harris, and Jane Ellen Bryant. All right, come on out. Have some cocktails. I'll give you some free stickers. We'll have posters. Come on out and say hi. Watch, if you've ever wondered how this gets done and what this is all about, or if you're a fan of the show and you enjoy it, come on out and celebrate with us. That's what that is. I bring out all the guests. It's like a big talk show. Everyone talks to each other. We all have a lot of laughs. We have some cocktails, and we have a good time. All right? So come on out for episode 600 live recording at the Townsend Monday, June 5th, 2017 at 8 p.m. No cover. Come on out and join us for free. Okay? Anyway, all right, so yeah, I'm playing some shows with Skyrocket this weekend, and that should be fun. And yeah, what are you doing this weekend? What do you do with your weekends? It's Mother's Day. I do not have a mother, but fortunately, I will get up on Sunday morning after my gig in Houston Saturday night. I'll get up on Sunday morning and go visit my grandma and my Aunt Olga, who is like a mother to me and is also my godmother, and I will celebrate with them, and I will celebrate them. I will be like, hey, moms, you guys are the best, best moms you ever met. All right, let's talk to Adrian Quesada. Let's talk about his band, Echocentrics. Their new album, Echo Hotel, is out now. Go to theechocentrics.com. Enjoy my conversation with this brilliant and amazingly talented man, Adrian Quesada. Let's get down.
That was Duffy? No, who did that? I don't remember.
David.
What did she do? Oh, Dave Boyle.
Yeah. Dive. Do you like? Have you ever been out there?
Oh yeah,
to the church house.
Yeah,
so you
I did
like
an
it?
Album there. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Super cool. Yeah.
I've done some stuff out there, and I love the vibe, and I love him too. He's
Boyle's
such
hilarious.
A weirdo.
Yeah. Weirdo's a good word.
Yeah, that's a legit word to describe.
Yeah, him. Totally. We did a record there like 2 years ago and used Stuart Sykes to engineer, but Boyle was there all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, I wrote you, right, when I heard the Sword record? I did. I sent you an email.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
We did it there.
You did
Church
that
House,
there?
Yeah.
Oh. Dude, that album. Okay, so I love them.
Uh-huh.
And then that album came out. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, man, this really sounds different than their other records. I wonder who did it. So, of course, now when you try to find someone who produced a record, it's like a fucking egg hunt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it's kind of sad, because when I was a kid, that's how I found everything out. You know, it's like you looked at the record. Yeah.
Well, what worries me is how do the guys that make their living, like how does a Skunk Baxter work
now? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how do they find him? How do they know he did stuff?
Maybe a little extreme, but the way somebody put it, a friend of mine said, if Led Zeppelin came out now, nobody would know who John Paul Jones or John Bonham was. Maybe, you know, that might be pushing it because they were all larger than life, but like, you know, people might not know that who John Paul Jones and Jason Bonham, I mean, John Bonham was. Jason Bonham. Tracy Bonham.
Well, so anyway, so when I heard it and then I saw it was you, I like flipped out. I was just like, wow. Like, I always think of you as, like, this massive music genius, but that just, like, took me to a whole new level. Like, point where I felt like I had to write you and be like, wow, you did a really good job on this album.
You. Yeah, that was a trip. So, I've known those guys for years, you know, really long time, since, like, the early Grupo days. We just run into them at festivals and just hang out and just party and super cool dudes. And just completely out of the blue. I mean, every once in a while I was in touch with Brian Ritchie, the bass player, but they reached out, and I was kind of like, are you sure? Like, am I really the right person for this? You know, I'm not like obviously Black Sabbath, you know, a little bit of Metallica when I was young, but I wouldn't consider myself a metalhead by any means.
Right.
And they were like, let's just go out for a beer. So we all kind of hung out for beers, and I was just like, yeah, I'm not really like totally Mr. Metal guy. And they were like, that's exactly why we are reaching out to you and what we don't want. So they, you know, funny enough, like, I think everybody I know that doesn't know them well thinks that they're complete metalheads, but the entire time that we did that record, which is probably a couple months, they listened to like a lot of ZZ Top, like kind of that era rock, you know, for sure. It's probably their biggest influence, and then a lot of hip hop, R&B, like fun, you know. So they're not like totally banging heads all the time. So that's what they wanted to do, was just kind of make a record like a, you know, quote unquote classic rock record.
Right.
So that's what we did with that.
It's funny because I think you might be a little younger than me, but we're around the same age. When we grew up, metal guys didn't like anything else to the point where you were scared of them. Like, they'd kick your ass because you were listening to Hall & Oates or something.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. So you went in with that preconception.
Yeah. And, you know, we got to know each other a little bit before we really started, but once we got going, I was like, oh, yeah, I get what they're doing. And it was a little bit of a, there was a lot of pressure kind of hanging around them over them because, well, for one, with the old school like Sword stuff, which I still love and everybody does, but like people wanted them to just keep making those records. Sure. And, you know, JD, the singer, the way he put it was like, well, first of all, they started by everything on those old records used to be tuned down to C sharp, for okay. which, you know, musicians know what that is, yeah. but people who don't mean
it makes
just
everything darker.
Darker and lower. And that's Dingier. What he was used to singing. And yeah. they tuned right back up to E, I think E flat, but. So they tuned back up to like regular tuning, which was already took them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah,
you know, which was a great way
to
start.
It's really interesting.
Totally.
Yeah.
And JD, you know, at one point the way he put it was like people still want them to kind of make that first record, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody loves that. My wife still runs to that record, yeah, stuff yeah. like that. But he's like, that was, you know, over 10 years ago, and he's like, I live. You know, he lives on a piece of land outside of Asheville, North Carolina with his girlfriend, and it's beautiful,
oh, wow.
and it's like a farm, and yeah. he's just like, my head's just not there anymore. Like, he's not writing those lyrics anymore.
Right.
And he still has that, you know, I don't know what the word is to describe what his lyrics are like, but like, not mystical, but you know,
yeah,
that
yeah,
kind of...
Yeah, they're kind of like, there's a, like, almost like space and...
Sort
like,
of, yeah.
Like, mythical.
Uh-huh. There's mythical like, is the
yeah,
word, yeah.
yeah.
But he's not like... totally dark slaying dragons all the time
yeah,
so
yeah.
I think yeah and then like their fans are hardcore man that was a it was interesting to put it out they knew what the reaction was going to be but it took people a lot of people right away just were like their old school fans yeah. were like I can't get into
no.
this but they were like for every fan they lost they gained a new fan who just likes rock and roll like I had a couple people reach out that probably were not Sword fans that were like oh man, it's a great rock record.
Yeah,
so that's what they wanted to make.
Yeah, know? It was a great rock record. It was exciting to listen to it, and
cool.
so thrilling to see that it was you that did it. Hey, let me ask you a question. Okay, so Echoes, your album Echo
yeah,
Hotel
yeah.
is absolutely brilliant.
Oh,
I've been
cool.
listening
Thank
to
you.
It for the last year, and it's,
okay,
it's
awesome.
Fucking yeah,
Thank
I love
you.
It. I really do. Like the both records are really fucking awesome, but the second one, I don't know, it
okay.
gets me a little more. Is Natalia Clavier or Clavier?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Lulu?
No, Lulu yeah,
is a different girl.
They're both in Thievery Corporation.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
She has an amazing voice. I mean, it's making the hair on my arm stand up. Like
yeah,
she
yeah.
has.
Oh, it's yeah, it's epic. She yeah. What I love about her is she, all her songs, all the like lyrically, they're so intense. And man, when she sings, like she means it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like it's like an emotional thing for her. Like when she finishes a take, sometimes you have to take a break because it's like she means it. She lives it.
Yeah,
she means it. It's for real.
But when she sings in Spanish, that's like the authenticity of like there is sort of this operatic and dramatic element to singing in Spanish.
Yeah,
that goes along with mm-hmm. the language that she just kills.
That's funny. You're the so we played in Marfa. At the Transpeckles Fest, and Dan Dyer came up to me afterwards and said operatic was the word he used. Yeah.
It is.
You're the
yeah.
second person, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't you feel that way listening
oh,
to
Oh, totally,
music
totally,
like
man. That was the idea. And there's certain, I mean, she sings in English well, but I think there's certain things that don't translate to, like, English. Sometimes we'll try something in English, and it's like, it gets lost in translation. And
oh, yeah.
I think the Spanish language lends itself to things like that, like more drama.
Yeah. When I was on a major label, they were real excited because I'm Cuban
mm-hmm.
and bilingual, so they were like, oh, can you rewrite these songs in Spanish? And some of them just like, it's so like the whole thing is so I realize that I write like an American person
yeah,
in the
yeah.
American world
mm-hmm.
that it's real hard, like the words like a Landau roof for a car, there's no, I don't know what you call that in Spanish, you
yeah,
know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, it's weird, and sometimes it just doesn't translate like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it does the same thing back and like back to English too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was a guy that from Mexico City that a producer friend of mine was working with, and he actually sent him to Austin to finish the songs with me, mainly because of that. He was like, this guy writes, he speaks fluent English, but it's just like speaking, writing, but then actually writing lyrics and singing a song, you need to really know the like nuance of the language because
yeah.
you know it can sound kind of dorky
yeah
if you're just saying the words
yeah
you know, or something like that
yeah
you know, so
how do you do the, I read a thing that you on your days off you go in and make this music so you don't write lyrics or melodies.
I do not. I have gotten better at writing melodies and sometimes
okay.
I'll have a hook idea in my head.
Okay,
that's as far. I totally hit a wall and I've been wanting to figure out how to break through that wall and like write a verse. You know, I've written choruses on songs
uh-huh.
and I write melodies, but I just cannot I'm just not a wordy person in general. It's funny because I actually like to write. I do like to write, and I like writing letters, and I used to write for my high school newspaper, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I just like poetry. I can't, you know, it. I think also probably the thing, one of the things that holds me back is that I don't have the confidence singing and playing guitar. So whenever I sit down and try to sing something, like, I just, my brain doesn't compute all that.
That's interesting, because you're so talented. You'd think that that would just come out like a fart.
No, it does, not really. I can fart, but.
Well, that's good. Okay, so you come up with these, with basically these, what modern people would call a beat, mm-hmm. like a bed of music, mm-hmm. a track. Mm-hmm. And then you think of, oh, this might sound good, you know, with jazz or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you send it to her and, mm-hmm. like, come up with something.
Yeah, totally. So,
and if you have a hook or something, you tell them what it is?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I think for that record, for this new, for Echo Hotel, I don't think I wrote any vocals on that. That one with jazz, I don't remember how that came about. I've had that song, like, laying around forever, and that was my favorite song that I'd written ever. And I think, actually, Alex Moss... from the Black Angels was the first one that, I think it may have been his idea to get jazz on there.
Okay.
And their vocals together, like, is just,
it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Like clouds floating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do get people in mind, like James, you thought that he would be good for
this. I did think of
song.
James for that one. Yeah. I was just trying to find the Natalia ones. I definitely know right away. Like, she'd kill that one.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, she'll actually shoot something down and just be like, nope, not feeling it. I can't think of anything. But like I can tell for sure which ones are going to bring the drama out of Natalia, you know. And then that one for James. I've worked with James on a few things, and I don't remember how I came up with that, but that he killed that one too.
Are you're doing a record with Natalia?
I did her first record, and we're like little by little. She's doing an EP with another guy in New York right now, but I think little by little starting to head in that direction. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
What's the name of her album? Because I want to.
Her album is it's funny because it's kind of an extension of, like, it's in between Echocentric's records, so it's sort of like.
Oh, okay, cool.
but little more. She likes more of like the electronic stuff.
Uh-huh.
So her record is called Lumen, like Lumen.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm definitely getting.
So it came out in between those, after the first Echocentric's and before the second one.
Yeah. Okay. How was it? Were you sending her music for those too, or was she writing the songs, or how did that,
that
work
one,
that you guys
well,
did?
That one, she doesn't play an instrument. She will. I wrote a few and she wrote, but a lot of them, she just sings things and sends them to me, and I have to like pick out chords and make them up. Yeah. And at the time, she was a. Do you know who Federico Abella is, the singer? Oh. He did. Dave Boyle used to play with him. Anyways, they were together, and he would help her make demos sometimes. But sometimes she just sings something on her phone and sends it over. And
wow.
Yeah. I mean, I already know what progressions she likes and stuff. You know, I can tell for sure.
By her melodies
and
stuff?
Like,
yeah,
like she goes in a certain direction where it's like, yeah, we've done this. You know, I know that progression. So.
How do you, when you work with an artist like that, do you ever get into, like, rolling up your sleeves and like, hey, you're doing the one to the minor two, like, too much?
I have started to get better about that. Yeah. I think that the thing I'm trying to get better at as a producer is actually, because I'm not a singer, and because, you know, what we were talking about, not writing lyrics and everything, is helping people sing or coach people to sing better. I've worked with other producers
right.
who are amazing at bringing out the best in a singer.
Yeah.
And I think that's like my Achilles heel up to now has been that I don't have a ton of feedback to really bring the best out of a singer because I'm not a singer,
right?
Which is no excuse. So I've been trying to be better about that,
right?
You know,
right. No, I understand.
You know, it's like I can sit with a guitar player or something, but I can't. I don't know what technique. And there's times where it's like you have to realize, like, find the ceiling. Like, that was the best they can do, or can they do better than that? You know, so,
right?
Yeah, there's some. You know,
yeah. It's a weird thing, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. sometimes I notice that I was just talking to someone about this the other day, that it's hard for me to record my vocals because I don't stop after the first take, like, a lot, or the second. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'll work with producers and I'll be like, oh, that was a throwaway. And they're like, nope, that was it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So do you like to sing a bunch of takes and then sort through it? Or do you just like to, or how many, like?
I mean, I try. I'm not a huge fan of compositing vocals, just the...
You'd rather get a linear take?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
If I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes punch in or do whatever, or like, oh, re-sing this one line or whatever. But I find that when I work with producers, it's earlier on, like instinct, they I guess instinctively I will sing something before I start refining it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the instinct has a little bit more grease in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I'm
more
not
character.
A big... After 5 or 6 takes, everything starts going downhill. Like, for me, in general, with things, I'm just like, I'm not... You know, it's fun, interesting to think of, like, when you think of the Beatles records and think of, like, oh, that was take on the White Album, that was take 42 or whatever, you know, it's like, yeah, I would have shot myself, you know, already.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's, you know, there's just different ways of doing it, but that's just me. I think if it's not happening after 4, 5, 6 takes, put it to bed and try it tomorrow or move on, you know. So
yeah.
That's
Are you still playing with Money Chicha?
No.
No?
No.
Are they playing it all right now?
Oh, yeah, they're still playing. Yeah, okay. They put out an album, and I've played a couple of times with them recently, but just my schedule is, I'm just spread too thin, and, like, I just told those guys, like, I can't, you know, we were doing weekly a residency at C-Boys and rehearsing, I mean, a gallery and rehearsing, and then other gigs, and I'm just in a million places at once, and I just feel like I need to not be spread so thin.
Yeah, it's hard.
Still doing Brownout, yeah.
Yeah. How's that going?
Fun. We just finished a new EP. It's being mastered today, finally. So
really? When's it
come
out?
Original music. In a month or two. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we were doing the Brown Sabbath.
I'm loving
thing
the Brown Sabbath.
Oh, cool. Thank
I got to tell you, yeah.
Thanks. That was fun. It was fun for sure. But I think this new EP, Beto, our other guitar player, came up with the title, but Over the Covers is the new record, because, we need to do some original music.
Good.
Again, yeah. Even when we play Brownout shows now, people are just yelling, like, Sabbath! And it's like, okay, dude, that was...
I mean, that's hard, because those songs are in our...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the novelty started getting, like, started wearing off a little bit, and I think we just need to put it, you know, take a quick break from it. But, yeah, we'll be doing some new, a new EP that comes out probably... Early June, something like that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
What about I have the Brown Sabbath on vinyl. Yeah, I got to tell you this one thing that's weird, because there's not a lot of guys like this. I am more Sabbath than Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Black Sabbath more than I like Led Zeppelin.
Really?
For some
interesting
reason.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like later Led Zeppelin, and I like the raw. I love to hear them playing together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where you realize, like, those first few records, you could have just put a boombox in the room and gotten the same vibe. You know, it wouldn't have sounded as good, but it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. That kind of power from people playing together is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about the... I like Ozzy's voice a lot for some reason. I really do.
It was really unique.
Robert Plant.
Yeah. Zeppelin. I mean, I like both, you know. I think they're... But yeah, I can see that for sure. I mean, I think a lot of people... One thing that Zeppelin gets a lot of flack for is, like, ripping other songs off early on. But I definitely feel like eventually they made their own thing, unique thing.
Totally.
You know, for sure.
Yeah, songs, I mean, like Kashmir, there's no other band that would have come up with that. I know that's kind of like a cliche song, but that, I mean, that's a huge, like, I love that song.
Yeah, yeah.
And shit like All of My Love and stuff like that. Like, that blows my mind.
Totally, yeah.
What happened to, why am I drawing a blank? Spanish Gold.
Just permanent hiatus.
Work. Yeah.
No, well, our drummer was in My Morning Jacket.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went back to his day job, and, and they had, like, 2 records in the can. And then I think, you know, they tour forever. And I think he, you know, we were looking at, I mean, they tour like 6 months, you know, 1 month off kind of thing. And we were looking at holes in the calendar. And he was like, to be totally honest, he was like, I don't want to, on my 1 month off, go. Because we were like, well, we can play that month.
Right.
You know, and he was like, I really just need a
month
break.
Off.
And, you know, he has a young daughter, and he just, you know, was just going to beat himself up. They had 2 records in the can, so, like, years of touring. And then I think they did something with Ray LaMontagne that was also on the books.
Okay.
So it just kind of, I just talked to Dante the other day, and, it was fun while it lasted. Maybe at some point.
Yeah,
again.
That
but
is
at this point,
that's
oh,
just
thank
a
you.
Great record, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I miss it. I was actually just thinking about it yesterday. So,
when did that come out? 2014.
Yeah,
yeah. That was my Out in the Street was my summer jam.
Oh, 2014. Cool, cool, awesome.
Yeah, I love that song so much. So What are you doing? What are you working on now?
Like, so we just finished, like, this morning, turned in the new Brown Out EP.
Right.
Speaking of over the covers, this hip-hop label approached us about doing an album of Public Enemy songs. So we're doing a bunch of old Public Enemy songs, like, right now as well.
Dude,
which
that
is pretty
would be
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's actually, like, that's more my wheelhouse of what I grew up on, was, like, Public Enemy and stuff like that. So we're doing that. Do you know who Graham Reynolds is, a composer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he wrote this opera about the life of Pancho Villa, and we just played it this weekend, and I'm producing the album version of it.
Oh, awesome.
So it's pretty cool. So I was working on that this morning, and then that's really what's kind of taking up all my time, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Engineering a few records and stuff like that.
What are you engineering?
This guy Thomas, he goes by Thomas X. I'm just wrapping up 10 songs for him. What else am I working on right now? I can never remember when people ask me. Trying to write a new Echocentrics album, trying to find the time for that.
Yeah.
An album of kids' music, which is pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some friends of mine started this sort of school for kids, and she hired me to do this kids album, which I'm like totally geeked about. I'm totally excited.
That's
awesome. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Totally fun.
It must be cool also once you have kids, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like being an actor and always being in rated R movies, and then you have kids and someone's like, hey, you want to be the voice in this?
Yeah
totally, my kids, man, will like it.
And having to, you know, my kids are older now, but when they were super little, having to put up with so much bad kids music,
oh yeah,
that it's refreshing when there's good stuff out there.
Right.
So like my mission is like stuff that the parents aren't going to turn off, because there's some really good, though a lot of people are doing kids music now, there's some really good stuff.
Yeah,
I remember somebody gave us, when my daughter was like 2, an album of Nirvana songs that people did into kids songs, like little, they made them lullabies.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so there's some cool stuff now.
Yeah, do you know Jason Faulkner?
He did a
record of Beatles stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Do they like your music?
My kids?
Yeah,
they do. Yeah.
Oh,
and they
good.
Finally get it now, and they finally have the songs they like or don't like.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah. But how old are they?
11 and 7.
Okay.
They get into it for
That's
sure.
Cool.
But they've already turned the corner from like KUTX to the like R&B and commercial stations.
Oh, right.
Which is, you know, I don't want to be that parent that like raises them completely out of touch with their generation and pop culture. So you know, it drives me crazy because it's like the same 20 songs, 10, 15 songs on two stations.
It's really,
all day long.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of good ones. Like there's some cool stuff right now.
Yeah.
A lot of terrible ones. I like the Bruno Mars songs. He has a couple of songs that are kind of cool. I'd say, but the new Rihanna song is really cool. It actually sounds like something that I would have written with Natalia for her album. Called, oh, dude, what's that? I'm teaching that one on guitar to them, and they're working on singing it too. That's a...
Oh, they play too?
A little bit, yeah. So Susanna Schaffel gave my 11-year-old Amelie guitar lessons for a while.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And vocal lessons we're trying to get to eventually. But my youngest plays ukulele a little bit. The new Rihanna song is cool. That Bruno Mars song is kind of cool. I don't know. It's funny because just the other day we were driving and listening to this, and I thought it was on KUT because I heard a guitar solo. It's like, you don't hear, and then it made me think, like, you don't hear guitars on those songs.
Yeah.
So I was like, what are you listening to? And they were like, oh, it's whatever. I can't even remember what it was, but there's one song out of all those that has a guy actually playing guitar.
Yeah.
The Rihanna song has guitar, and then, like, the Bruno Mars stuff has, you know, funky 80s stuff. But
it's so weird that you say this, because I just had a conversation on Sunday with a friend of mine. I watched Saturday Night Live from Saturday Night on Sunday when I woke up, and Harry Styles was on. The guy from One Direction.
Okay, yeah.
And he played, and he had a band. Like, there was a drummer,
yeah.
And there was two guitar players, and a bass player, and a keyboard player, and there was, like, drum fills and, like, riffs, and I watched Saturday Night Live, and just using that as an example, I was starting to notice, like, everyone's just hitting these weird pads. That's all that's going on.
Yeah.
And like a keyboard and like a guy, you know, in like a long t-shirt with tight pants and like...
Uh-huh.
And then I was actually shocked to see like a band.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So what was it? What's his music like, his solo stuff?
It's funny because the single that's out, someone wrote me and said it sounds like you produced this song for Harry Styles. So...
I gotta check that out.
No, I don't think like me. But I understand where that's. It was a. You know, I liked it. I guess that's weird to say now that someone thought it sounded like.
Yeah, something totally. I gotta check that out. Yeah. I saw. Where did I see that? Like, on Twitter or something. Mark Ronson posted said something about Harry's killing it on Saturday Night Live right now or something. But I didn't know who they were
really
talking
good.
About. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was good. I like Mark Ronson a lot.
Yeah, he's a great producer.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people write him off because they hate Uptown Funk or whatever, like the you know, big song. But I don't think a lot of people give him credit for how genius of a producer he was.
Yeah.
Even like with the Amy Winehouse record, a lot of friends of mine, you know, he got the Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings band to play on it. Right. And they're like, oh, well, I'm like, but that's a stroke of genius. Because a lot of people were like, oh, all he did was get the Dap Kings. And it's like, but how come nobody had done that before that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Quincy Jones didn't play everything on he just got the right, you know, he got Eddie Van Halen to play on.
Yeah.
On whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's an awesome producer. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think Mark Ronson's awesome. Man.
Me
There's,
too.
You know, some of the stuff, I don't like all the songs, but I think he's a great producer.
Me too. I like his choice. You know what? You guys have a similar sense of reverb use.
Oh yeah.
I love your use of reverb.
Cool, thank you.
Let me ask you this: on your on Echocentrics, who all plays on it?
Like a lot of the bass, guitars, and keys are all me, and it's usually John Spies on drums or this guy in the UK, Sean Lee, has a studio, and I love his aesthetic. So a lot of times I'll just send him something, and he'll send me a drum beat, and I'll replay to that.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, so we email a lot. He mixed this new Brownout stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I play, you know, when we do it live, we have a full band, and that's John Spies, myself, John Branch on guitars, Gerardo Larios, who now plays with Spoon on keys.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They snatched him up. He's the man. He's so talented.
Yeah.
And this guy, Eddie Torres, plays bass. But yeah, I actually, this new record, I've been wanting to make it more band-centric. You know, all these songs are kind of like me.
Yeah,
doing a bunch of stuff at home, but I actually want to get I love how the band plays together, so I want to do it like that. So it's like get all the band in the room, and we play the songs, you know, as live as possible. Because I've never done that with the Echoes, because I just do it on my off time. So
right, is that going to be hard to do?
With like everybody's schedules. Well, yeah. Spoon stole Gerardo away from us, but yeah. Have you seen him? Have you seen the new Spoon lineup with him? Yeah,
yeah.
He's like totally. Right behind Britt, singing, backup, playing guitar too and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that band.
I
Those
love
guys.
Spoon.
Yeah, I'm amazed at. I mean, I feel like that's a band that I've seen since there was a dude playing an acoustic guitar through his Fender amp at the hole in the wall. You know,
oh, wow,
in the front room.
Uh huh.
And just watch that growth throughout this whole time. And
did he used to play solo like that? Or like with
the
band?
With the band, he played acoustic guitar through an amp.
Oh,
I just always thought that was cool as shit.
Yeah.
It sounded
I love him,
awesome.
Man. I love how sparse and just like understated everything is. Like, so some of it... Oh, actually, this new stuff is a little more kind of
dense. Yeah.
But like the stuff that's super stripped down and like it's awesome, man. It's so simple. Like, you know, it's awesome.
He's got it down. I was going to ask you... Oh, did you work on the Ian Moore...
Yeah, I did a couple songs on that Ian Moore record.
What songs did you do?
Strange Days and...
That's
a good
song.
Indian Red, I think, made it to the record. And then How Can I? I think I did three. Yeah.
How was that? How did that come about, that collaboration?
Oh, man. So he knows my wife, Celeste, from high school. And
because she went to Austin High.
Yeah, she went to Austin High.
I went there, too, during...
Oh, cool.
But only for a year.
So he played her parents' wedding.
Oh, wow.
she's known him like forever, but so he's a little older than her, but she he just reached out and we just started hanging out. He'd come into town and we'd just hang out, and he wanted to do something. He was the first band I had at my studio when I built my new studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was like kind of a lot of pressure. Like, I didn't even know if anything was going to work, or I didn't even have a ton of gear back then. I didn't have, like, you know, when somebody walks into your studio and tells you that they have more gear in their home studio
at home.
I mean, he didn't say that like in a condescending way, but the more we got to talking, I was like, oh, you have like way more gear at your place.
Right.
But so we co-wrote a couple of those.
Good.
Yeah. Actually, funny enough, one started kind of as an echo, two started as like Echocentrics ideas. And I sent him a, but we just traded ideas, and then he kind of made it his own, you know, came in and played it. And then he ran off with the stuff, and the songs kind of took on a new life. But he, you know, we did that stuff like 2 years ago, I think. Yeah.
I remember, oh yeah, I saw you at a show that he was playing like last year at South by Southwest, at that Sims thing at South by San Jose or something. I remember seeing
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah.
What, so Celeste went to school at Austin High and was friends with a lot of people. Like, who's her group of people from there?
I don't know who you would know.
I might know him from afterwards, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Oh.
But yeah, she went to Austin High.
Yeah. There's,
you guys are rare. Unicorn's a real Austin.
There's all kinds of like wild people. You know who Dick DeGuerin is?
Mm-mm.
He is this guy that, do you see that thing, The Jinx, that Robert Durst thing on HBO? Mm-mm. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
He's the main lawyer of that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he went to Austin High, and like all these people you find out, like, not just music people, but like tons of people. Like when she was the one that put together that Austin High thing at the awards.
Well,
right?
It wasn't her. I don't think it was, I think that was somebody at the Chronicle's idea. But they that was like Gary Clark, Shaky Graves, and somebody else. I can't remember.
But everybody went at different times.
Yeah, totally,
for sure. Uh-huh. But that's pretty awesome. And you grew up in Laredo.
Laredo, Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that from last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
When,
And we have, you know, we've talked about, Daniel Leopold a few times, but I'm going to do some stuff with Daniel in June.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. I've recorded a couple of things for them on an EP, but, he just reached out about some studio time in June. And I was like, you know, with Daniel, I was just talking with somebody about Daniel. He's the kind of guy that knows exactly what he wants, you know, like he just comes in, and he did the last record with Frenchie but you know, Daniel knows what he wants. So when he's come into my studio, I've, you know, recorded a few songs for them here and there. I just kind of sit back and let him help execute his vision. You know, just like, sure, let's record this. I just emailed him back and was like, hey, man, I actually would love to like be creatively a little bit more involved too. If you're into that, I was like, if not, totally cool. I'll just hit record and we'll have fun like always. But yeah, he wrote back and was into it. So I'm looking forward to doing some stuff with them.
Yeah, that guy, he's really... that guy's rock and roll, man.
Yeah, totally.
Like that, and that music
Detroit,
is like, it's totally Detroit and totally the thing.
Yeah.
So, when do you think you'll be getting able? You don't even know when you'll be able to do the next Echocentrics album.
I mean, I'm hoping to record it by like, I'd say like sometime in the summer.
Okay.
And I don't know. You know, I have there's a label in LA that put out that last one, and they're gonna put out this one. So just kind of the frustrating part about. Is, you know, making an album and then trying to figure out when to get it out. You know, the good thing with this Brownout EP is we're putting it out ourselves, so we can put it out whenever the hell we want. You know, it's like in 6 weeks it'll be out. But like with that one, I have to make sure it's on their schedule, and it may be next year. I don't know.
You know? Is that by choice that you guys decided to put that out yourselves?
The Brownout EP? Yeah. Well, yeah, because we wanted to turn it around quick. It's an EP. We may get a distribution deal, but we want it, you know, we're just doing vinyl and digital. And I think we might press some CDs for the show, for the live shows and stuff. But yeah, at this point, it's like, why, you know, especially for an EP, it's four songs. We just want to get it out as quick as possible. Most people are going to stream it anyways. Yeah. And if you come to the show, you can take a CD home or vinyl, you know. So that was sort of a little bit by choice, a little bit just because it made more sense for the project.
When you, as a producer, I mean, this is like the business. Obviously, everybody's always talking about it. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it hard to sort of navigate the business end of it outside of when you're done with the creative process? Is it hard for people to get money together to make a whole record with you?
Yeah, it is. It is, man. You know, I try to be as flexible as possible because I know what it's like. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody has... money, so the trying to balance like actually paying bills and being open to friends and you know their small budgets, and I want to do it, but like there's very few people who have budgets. I mean, and honestly what I have to turn to is doing a little bit of like commercial music on the side, like for TV and film, that helps pay the bills and takes the pressure off. That way I can take on cool projects or friends that you know.
That's the balance, you know. Yeah. You got to find a way to
Totally. I have to do a lot of stuff.
Keep it open.
A lot of it is cool because I work with some cool people that do that. Some of it, I hope nobody ever sees my name on it. You know, that kind of stuff. But, like, that's what I have to do to be able to afford to take on all my friends' things.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just how it goes. So we just also did a cool album last month or 2 months ago. What are we, in April? Did it in February in New Mexico. Do you know who... Matthew Logan Vasquez is from Delta Spirit. He used to have a band called Delta Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just saw him play at South by Southwest.
Oh, okay, cool.
Right? He played
solo. Yeah, he played a bunch.
He was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He's great. His solo stuff is awesome. He was in a band called Delta Spirit. He put a group of people together and rented a house in New Mexico, and we went and made an album up there, and it was myself and him, this songwriter here named Jason Blum.
I love Jason.
David Ramirez, you know David Ramirez?
Yeah, David.
Nathaniel Radliff and his band came from Colorado. This other guy from Seattle, Noah Gunderson. Kelsey from the band Wild Child here in town.
Yeah, I love her.
And we rented a huge house in New Mexico, packed up his van with a bunch of studio equipment, got there, cleared out the living room, and set up a studio, and we camped out for a week and made a whole record. And everybody had a few songs, and we used Nathaniel Radliff's rhythm section was kind of the rhythm section.
That's
and
then, awesome.
I played bass, and so that we'll be putting that out next year, but that was actually pretty fun.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like working in other studios, too?
I do.
Like you do?
Yeah, I need change of scenery all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's how big is your
It's small. Studio? I think it's 512 square feet. I mean, I've done full bands in there, and I do full bands a lot. It'll start to get cramped after a while with a bunch of people, but... you know, generally what I like to do is do as much as possible there, but if it really needs to be done somewhere else, like start some basic drums and rhythm section stuff for a couple of days somewhere else and then come back and finish it, you know?
Yeah.
It's also like just a lot of people can't afford to go rent the huge studios anymore for 3 weeks, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
But I love working there. For sure. I do like to change it up
and
just kind of, you know, shakes things up a little.
Where else do you do stuff? Like
everywhere. I mean, yeah. I've done a little bit at all of them. You know, Church House, which we were talking about. Done stuff everywhere from Cacophony, Eric Wofford's studio,
like
to used to do some stuff at Big Orange, which was on the east side, right by across from Scootin. Dove stuff at Jim Eno's at Public Hi-Fi.
I love that
Stuart
place,
Sullivan's
too.
Wire recording. Trying to think of some other spots. You know, all the studios. At some point, I've been there.
Yeah, yeah. What is your guitar rig for the guitar nerds that are out there?
For guitar nerds, so I have two now that I'm doing. So I have a Princeton Reverb, a handmade Princeton Reverb, 65 Princeton Reverb that this guy made for me and kind of beefed it up a little bit. So it's like a little bit bigger than a small Princeton Reverb because I wanted something small, portable, and something that breaks up. I got really into the idea of not having to like use too many pedals and just use the amp itself to hit it hard and have that overdrive, which you just cannot beat at all.
No.
And then actually the way I met Matthew Logan Vasquez was I bought his Super Reverb, so I needed something for the Brown Sabbath gigs. That little Princeton Reverb doesn't cut it, nor did my Deluxe Reverb. So I needed something bigger, and I got that Super Reverb, and he showed up to drop it off at my house, and I was just like, hey, we met at some point, so we just kind of became friends like that. But so I use a Super Reverb for bigger gigs, and it's like a 73 or 74 Super Reverb, and a couple of pedals. I've been trying to keep the pedal board small, you know, just like I'm trying to have my just palette, steady palette. The thing is, like, it's just easier to have everything there at once. I don't use everything for all the gigs, but it's easier than every time for the gig having to make
a new
configuration.
Yeah.
So I just have it all. But like a lot of, you know, I have a Spring Reverb, Tremolo, I have a large collection of fuzz boxes. I'll just kind of swap them out.
Those are the three pedals that I think you would have on your
tremolo, reverb, and fuzz. And then an overdrive, a wah, and tuner. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Actually, the thing, if I think now, if I had to just pick one pedal, that the one that's come in, like, you know, that EP booster.
Yeah.
That one is just like,
it's awesome. Yeah,
that's incredible. Super tiny and
And it does what you need.
Yeah, totally.
It has a nice full boost.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like like those micro boost like MXR ones don't give that full range of
and it makes it pushes the amp into like dirt and grit land, you know, for sure.
Yeah. And you play, you're an SG guy, right?
I have an SG.
Yeah. I've seen you. What else do you play?
I have a 446, which is a it was a Gibson custom shop that they made for a few years, and they discontinued it. It wasn't really popular, but and I just picked up a Harmony Rocket, one of those ones, and I'm loving that too. Yeah, yeah. It's not for every gig, but it's super cool to have that.
Yeah. Do you know Billy Harvey?
No, I mean, I know who he is, but yeah,
I think he plays those.
Oh wow,
like he found. Cool. Like he's been collecting, you know what I
does
mean?
Does he
like,
live in Mexico? Does he?
No. He lives in Nashville.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Billy White lives in Mexico.
Billy White. Okay. Yeah. So Boyle was telling me he works down there sometimes. He has like a little spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Billy do a lot of stuff together.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Just to make it more confusing.
Do you know Billy or no?
No.
Billy White?
I know Jason White. I know his brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he still play?
I don't know. I knew him from like the Breedlove days, and we used to work at a record store together. We used to work at Jupiter Records.
Oh, you worked there?
I did.
I know you then?
Maybe. At some point we met, yeah. Do you remember Jason worked there?
Of course.
Yeah, so I used to work with Jason, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember Jason and Ryan. You ever hear from those guys at all?
The brothers? No, man. I haven't seen them in years. I think I'm friends with them on Facebook, but...
The Enright brothers.
And then I think... I feel like Jason came up recently... Because he was out with Fastball or something for a while, like traveling with Fastball maybe or something.
Oh, yeah. He's a huge fan of those dudes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I used to work for them, yeah.
Fastball's got a new album coming out.
Yeah, totally. I recorded some of Miles' solo stuff last year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
But I haven't heard the new record yet.
I've heard a couple of songs. They're really good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited that they're doing stuff.
Yeah, me too. And I'm glad that they're getting some more. So you never know when that shit's going to happen.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, like they got sampled or something, right? Or like they took a hook or...
Yeah, there's another hip-hop? Word than sample. Like they did the.
Okay.
I just heard this. Somebody told me the other day. I can't remember what it's called. Fuck. I was supposed to remember it forever. Okay, it's like when they did the tribute to Biggie. Like they did the Every Breath You Take.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just sang it different words. That's what they do.
Interpolation.
Interpolation. Is that the word? That's
the word.
Yeah,
totally.
See your hip.
Yeah, which basically means that hopefully they're all getting checks from that.
They are.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. Good for them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny because you never know what's going to hit. Like
I know.
You know, a group will hit and then the brownout thing took off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we haven't hit been interpolated on a...
No, not yet.
Big hip-hop song, which I'd love for that. But I'm just really happy that they're still doing stuff. They're, you know, doing that. I had never worked with Miles, and I think I was actually... talking to them about maybe working on some stuff, but man, his like melodic sense is just like, man, just
both
pop,
of those guys
genius. Yeah, yeah. And I know Tony, I've never worked with him, but working with Miles was like, man, everything, like the way he plays guitar is like melodic, you know, it's just like just pop genius. I love it.
You know what I love about those dudes? You know, I had them on separately.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this thing that I put together for like an end of the year show that was them both telling the exact same story.
Mm-hmm.
But like Miles was like, oh, you're never going to believe what happened. This was so awesome.
Uh-huh.
And he starts telling the story. And then Tony's version was like, oh my God, you're never going to believe what happened.
It's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Yin and yang.
Yeah. It's like what happens when you have a hit song. Like Tony was like, it's the worst thing that can you never want that to actually happen.
Yeah, 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 totally.
And Miles was like, it was awesome. We were at all these parties. And Tony was like, we were at all these parties.
That's awesome.
Such a funny thing. Those guys have a great thing. I guess congratulations on being the Austin Music Foundation
band. Yeah, yeah. It means a lot, you know, especially we don't play here in town a lot. So, you know, just to be for anybody to recognize it is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. Do you know Alex Vallejo? You guys,
yeah totally.
I'm sure you guys have done some Spanish stuff.
I played on a Vallejo thing, the album where they did a bunch of collaborations with different people. Yeah, I played on one song.
Did
I
they
think.
Put that out? They haven't put that
I
out.
I think
yet.
They put a few songs out, but I don't think they put the whole thing out. That was years ago, yeah. Yeah, but I know Alex, yeah.
I have this weird thing of AJ and he sent it to me of him and Dale Watson doing a song together on that.
For that record, yeah. They did a ton of them. They did a lot of them. I think the group of horns are on one. I played on one.
Those are good guys.
Oh, yeah, man. They're great. I love those dudes. They're great dudes, yeah.
And they have a family. Like, that whole grupo thing, it's a family. It's like a tree of its own, and then it goes off into all these other places.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all of you guys take it.
Uh-huh, totally.
Yeah.
And they're all good dudes, man. AJ, Omar, they're all good guys.
Yeah, great guys. Well, I look forward to everything you do.
Oh,
next.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
And it is the way you say the band is just Echocentrics.
Yeah.
But you find it online as the Echocentrics.
Oh yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm not good at that. Actually, Natalia set up our Instagram and was like, I set it up. Oh, she was like, well, set it up and I'll run it. So I set it up and I called it Echocentrics. And she texted me and was like, you need to get better at branding. Is it Echocentrics or the Echocentrics? I was like, I don't fucking know. Fucking Echocentrics. I think it looks cooler as Echocentrics.
Yeah.
I think. And she was like, well, it needs to be consistent, whatever it is. I was like, here's the fucking password and you do whatever you want. I don't give a shit. Yeah. So I don't have time to run an Instagram.
Yeah. You need to be making stuff that I can listen to all the time.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you.
And someone else needs to worry about branding.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
I want your mind to be in the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, dude, thank you for coming by.
Hey, man. Thanks
and
for having
congratulations.
Me.
Congratulations. The album's great.
It's been how many years since I've been this?
A couple years. Yeah. Two or three?
Yeah.
Oh, it was before Spanish Gold. It's been like 4 years.
It was before Spanish Gold? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Congratulations. It's always great to talk to you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
The amazing Adrian Quesada and his solo/collaborative project, Echocentrics. His album, Echo Hotel, is available now. Go to theechocentrics.com to get more. I love talking to Adrian. He's one of my favorite dudes out there. He's one of those great, amazing producers, great musicians, great guys all around. All right. Thank you to Adrian for coming by. Love that dude. Love his work. Go pick up Echo Hotel and pick up Echocentrics' first album, Shadows. Go to theechocentrics.com. And don't forget, while you're out there checking out Echocentrics stuff online, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on Cavecast, on any kind of podcast place you can find. If you can't find it, write me and we'll deal with it, okay? You can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And you'll see all kinds of photos, even a photo of me and Mr. Adrian Quesada. Let's hear another song from Echo Hotel, the Echocentrics. This one features the amazing Natalia Clavier from Thievery Corporation. Amazing musician, amazing singer. Have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
Pienso, pero te siento esa presencia indeseada, innecesaria, puro veneno. Cuando llegas.